don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Today's November 7th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Linda Melito. She's the author of Mafia Wife, A Tale of Living Inside the Gambino Crime Family. She was married to Louis Melito, a Gambino crime family capo who mysteriously disappeared. Linda says that Sammy Gravano is responsible, and we're going to hear her story tonight and what she's doing in her life now. Before we welcome her to the show, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, I'd just like to thank everyone who tunes into the show every Wednesday night, and we would like to thank all our members across the country that supports the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And to all our soldiers in the prison system who support our movement, we'd like to give a big shout-out to every one of them in the Fed and state prison. So with that being said and did, we would like to turn the mic over to Ms. Linda, and she will formally introduce herself, and we will get right down to her story.
Okay, how you doing? It's Linda Melito, the author of Mafia Wife. That's book one. I'm also doing book two. My husband was in the Gambino family, but that's not the way it all started. It all started when his mother asked him to subsequently get his brother out of Vietnam. For $2,500, he went into this Italian club, a coffee shop, and bought his brother out of Vietnam. Once you ask a favor, you know for sure you owe a favor. Well, Louis owed a favor for the rest of his life, and subsequently he was the brother that was murdered. Sammy Gravano is the only one that would have done it. He basically was Louis' friend and partner, and the only way that he would be able to climb the ranks would be to bypass Louis. The only way to bypass Louis was to kill him. He put one in his head and one under his chin, and that was Sammy's M.O., and disappeared off the face of the earth. I guess... crime doesn't pay. One way or the other, it just doesn't pay. And the streets don't love you back is a perfect example and words that have meaning, you know. And the meaning is they don't love you back. You wind up just on the wrong side. And again, for all you guys that are in prison, you can set an example for the other ones. Don't let them happen. Don't let that happen. Don't let them follow an example. Make yourself a good example. I just don't like to see anybody get in trouble. And once you get in trouble, it's real hard to get out of it. You can run, okay, but it's not going to work. It's just the system will catch up with you. So as far as Louis goes, he was in prison four times. They were small things. I mean, Rikers Island is 6 months, and a place in New Jersey, 6 months. But it seemed like crime followed him, and I think that's all he eventually knew. And it's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing. I'm kind of hoping that my words go out to you guys that are in prison, that you can be mentors for the people that really need it. It's just no good, okay? You must be responsible for your actions, okay? And if your actions are bad, it's real easy to change it. It's not hard. I mean, anybody could do it. So I'm asking you guys, okay, if you're out there and you hear me, to change it for the kids that are growing up. You know, crime does not pay, and the truth will set you free if you believe it in yourself. You know, you have to believe the truth. Organized crime, okay, was something that Louis was brought into. He did not he didn't go into it right away. He was a hairdresser. And that's when I met him. He was a hairdresser. He might have done some petty stuff, you know, like maybe steal a tire from a Cadillac or, but then again, I say to myself, was that the first thing that he did wrong, and then he just kept on making it worse and worse and worse? Yeah, it's very possible. Did I turn the cheek? I think I did. But the reason why I did was I was afraid of him. I really, you know, it was a terrible life back then in the 70s and 80s. You were really frightened of them. I was probably one of the first Jewish women, okay, full Jewish women, that married into them. And not that I was mistreated or I was looked at differently. No, I was looked at, believe it or not, they put me up on a pedestal. I guess because I was smart and they listened to me. Although I didn't really like what they were doing, I had to turn my cheek because it was either their way or the highway. And I came from abusive family when I was younger. Okay, my mother was verbally abusive and not a nice mother. And at that point, Louis became my Prince Charming. And I just wanted to get out of my house. And Louis was the one who actually saved me. So, in a way, I know people might think I'm crazy, but I'll always love him for getting me out of my house and having two children. Maybe it wouldn't have been that way. I don't know. But he did love me, and I did love him. Right now, we're looking for his body, okay? The body disappeared in the body bag. I believe that Huck Carbonero, okay? Now I'm allowed to say names and tell the truth because back in 2003 that was a taboo subject, okay, mafia, but now it's not, okay? So I mean, it's like the number one topic in the world at this point, okay? I don't know how it got that way, okay? Maybe my book contributed it to it, which I hope it did, okay? And if you guys want my book, you know, you certainly I could give you the place to get it. It's you can dial Roberta, and her phone number is 1-530-320-7753, or it's Real Mob Wife, that's WIFE, at mail@mail.com. So that's my second book, but a lot of the first book is in it because a lot of people didn't read my first book, so I want to give them the chance of reading the first book. And what you're going to have is a revised edition that has more crime. Remember, I said in 2003, you couldn't mention too much, okay? I mentioned as much as I could. I changed names, and I did what I had to hide, you know, for my own protection. But now the whole book is all original. I did change the names back to the real names. I just kind of feel that it's respect to Louis that disappeared, giving his life to an organization that only stabbed him in his back. People say they take care of you. That's not true. Okay, they turned their back on me and my children. My son was in a motorcycle accident and is apparently disabled. Okay, nobody ever even cared. Okay, when Louis disappeared, nobody even knocked on the door. We literally had no money because Sammy took it all. I had to swallow my pride because I had to get the kids out of New York, and I had to beg Sammy for some money so I could send them to my brother. I knew that I was slated to get killed. I knew that Sammy was ready to put two bullets in my head. And if people ask me, Linda, are you scared now? No, I'm not, okay? Because I have to tell the truth. Sammy's book, I don't know if people ever read it, but it's all full of lies, one lie after another lie after another lie. And then they have that program, Mob Wives, on. I mean, these are the kids of Sammy Gravano. I mean, why should not he be treated like the son of Sam or like Charlie Manson? Why should these people be able to capitalize on victims? I mean, I don't like that either. So, you know, now I'm out to just tell people really who Louis was, and Louis was a very fair guy. I mean, if there was a beef in the neighborhood, people would go to Louis, not Sammy, okay? Louis brought Sammy into the Gambino family from the Colombo family. When Joey Colombo was permanently disabled by having two bullets put in his head, the Colombo family went down the tubes because nobody could earn without the boss, okay? And the boss couldn't give directions. So what happened was Sammy came to Louis asking Louis to get him into the Gambino family. Louis was already in the Gambino family through Rizzo, John Rizzo Sr., who was in the jewelry business. All of this, again, is in the book, okay? So once that happened, Louis was able to get Sammy out of the Colombos and into the Gambinos. And anybody that says that's different is lies, okay? I mean, I was there. Everybody said, well, Linda, how do you know? Because I was there. I was there. I mean, my brain seems to pick up things that are important. I don't know, there's a word for it, but things that are not important to me, I just don't pay attention to. So I did try to pay attention to as much as I could to keep Louis out of trouble. Sammy screwed Louis when he went to the when they had the Plaza Suite. They had a very big club in Brooklyn, one of the biggest clubs. And this guy came in who was a kiddie porn guy, and Louis found out that he was a kiddie porn guy. And Louis just didn't like that. This guy came in and put a rifle on the desk of Sammy and said, I want to buy this place. So Sammy looked at him, you know, and Louis walked into the office, and Louis said, what's the problem here? And the guy said, I want to buy this place. So Louis said, how much? He says, $1 million. Okay, you want $1 million? And what they did was they set him up. Okay, to get the $500,000, okay, but the entire story is in the book. But they did get the $500,000 free, okay, and clear. Louis subsequently was outside the door when the guy, after the guy delivered the cash, okay, and killed him, okay. Then after, what he did do is he put two ice picks in his eyes so he could never see kiddie porn again. You know, Louis was loved children. Absolutely love children, okay, from a baby to a three-year-old to a five-year-old. So that was his way of saying, wherever you're going to be, you'll never see kiddie porn again, okay? And that, too, is in my book. There are a lot of things that I feel that people should know, really. Louis was just, he was a very tough guy. He was a true gangster. You know, there are gangsters and there are not gangsters, okay? Gangsters will walk into a problem with a bat, with a baseball bat, okay? And not care 1 minute, okay, that he's going to swing somebody's head off, okay? Not 1 minute, okay? If you're not a gangster, you really don't do that. You think twice. But gangsters don't think, okay? And Louis didn't think, okay? Sometimes I was afraid of him. I mean, he had such strength in his hands, okay, that one time we were arguing, and I always stuck up for myself, he took my head and my neck up against a wall, okay, like he was putting me on a meat hanger, okay, and this is a true story. I was frightened, very frightened, but they didn't have shelters like Nicole Simpson. I had nowhere to go. I called my mother, and my mother says to me, you made your bed, you lay in it. Okay, so what do you do? There was nothing that I could do. Was I frightened of Louis? Sure. I said to Louis one day, I said, can I ask you a question? Don't you think that this is not working out? Don't you think we should get a divorce? He said, divorce? He says, the only divorce you're going to get is in a box. He says, and then what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell your father you ran away with another man. Well, you think he's not going to believe me? Well, my father would have believed him, okay? He would have not liked it, but, you know, I mean, he would have been forced to believe him. So, in all actuality, does crime pay? Louis left behind two children. Two children that don't that have a hole in their heart because they don't know where Louis is. And I'm still looking for him. I had somebody call me from the NYPD. That's New York Police Department. The Diggies Union, you know, they dig up bodies, okay? They were sent out to Staten Island, the Staten Island Hospital, to dig up the driveway, okay? Well, they dug up the driveway, and they found five bodies. The assignment was to find the five bodies. Now, this particular gentleman that called me, his name is Bill Tomasulo, said to me, Linda, he saw me a newspaper article, the Advance, Staten Island Advance, and he called me. He was able to find me and email me, and he said, Linda, he says, I found the five bodies, but then about 6 feet away from where we were digging, I found a sixth body. And the sixth body was no head, no hands, and no feet. I started to think. I says, okay. I says, well, that's exactly what Sammy Gravano would do, because he wouldn't want Louis to be identified. Okay? So now what happened was, We wound up at the medical examiner's office in Brooklyn, but they gave us such a rough time, my children, because I can't take the DNA. My children have to. They have to go into the bone, okay, in order to get out the DNA to match. Now, people say to me, yeah, but is there going to be bodies 28 years ago? Whatever it was, okay? I said, yes. What they did years ago, they didn't keep the body. They took one part of the bone, which they knew one day there was going to be DNA, and they would mark the bone, okay, with a tag, okay, so it's somewhere in the medical examiner's office. They can't get rid of it. It's just like they can't get rid of something that was in a cemetery. They're not allowed to get rid of it. Okay, so now I have the gentleman, okay, but unfortunately the finances right now have stopped me from pursuing, okay, what I want to pursue. I really would like to make a documentary, okay, in reference to finding Louis, okay? But, you know, somebody says to me, well, why don't you do it? Well, if I had a lot of money, I'd be able to do it, okay? But unfortunately, I'm just a struggling author, okay? And at this point right now, I'm at a standstill, okay? And the standstill is really to get to that medical examiner's office, and I would like to do a documentary of me doing this, okay? Not a film. I am doing a film. I'm doing my story, but I really think that a documentary, Oprah would want to buy it, or somebody, if it's done properly, okay? So at this point, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go into the medical exam's office. I'd like to get the Bill Tomasulo. He's on Staten Island. I mean, I have conversations with him many times, okay? And he's ready to go. He says, Linda, I'm retired. I have nothing else to do. You know, so he was kind enough to put his feet forward. And then he also said to me, you know what the funny part is? I said, what? My daughter's name is spelt D-E-E-N-A. Her name is Dina. Okay? And he has a daughter, and her name is Dina. D-E-E-N-A. So that was a tremendous coincidence to both him and me. Okay? So now I'm a little bit at a standstill waiting for the revenue from my book to see if I can pursue something to find if that is Louis. And I don't know why, but I just think that Sammy would have done it that way. okay? I think Sammy would have told him, get rid of him and make sure you can't identify him. So, you know, if you get rid of the head, you can't get rid of the teeth. They're gone, right? You get rid of the fingerprints, the hands are gone. You get rid of the feet, the feet prints are gone. And the only thing that's left was a torso. That's exactly what Bill Tomasello said. It was a torso left. I said, and what did you do? He said, well, we brought it to the medical examiner's office. So that's where it starts to go. And all these projects I'm in the middle of doing, hoping one day that I'll be able to raise it and I'll be able to find Louis. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I wish I could do it yesterday. But, you know, Louis's not going anywhere. Okay, he's not going anywhere. So if he is in that medical examiner's office, he's got to be there. They're just not going to throw him out, okay? They're not allowed to do that, especially if Bill Tomasello has certain numbers, and he's got certain numbers that particular body. I don't know why he kept it. I don't know why, okay? I didn't have the opportunity to grill him and talk to him about it, but I still don't know why he kept all the numbers, and I still don't know why that this particular body stood in his mind. I mean, he did this for a living. He used to dig up bodies. Why did he think of this body with no head and no hands, and why did he call me, you know? So I don't know if it's Louis. I don't know yet, okay? But we do have some clues, okay? Let's call it clues. My life was a very hard life. It was not an easy life. But I lived through it. I guess it would have been real hard with my mother. That's for sure. Okay, but Louis gave me good times. I mean, there were times we went into the Copa. I mean, I took Tom Jones's glass. Sammy Davis Jr. was right there. So we had a lot of good times. We really did. I used to go to the baseball game. I love Yankees. Well, we used to go to the Yankees every Sunday. So you know, Louis was not the type of man that didn't do family things. He really did. Okay? The Sopranos, okay? That was copied off of me. I can't explain it, but I can assure you, okay, that the Sopranos was after me. And the reason why the Sopranos got off the air so quickly is because I was coming after them. And then you know what I thought? Why should I go after them? When you go after somebody to sue them, you're going backwards, okay? So I didn't want to go backwards. I wanted to go forwards and make Mafia Wife a known name. And I think I did do that, okay? You know, there could be other Mafia women, but there's only one book, Mafia Wife. And I thank God. One of my friends just wrote me that it is such a hot book. It really is. Okay, it's a collector's item now. So I hope that after this book, Mafia Wife 2, I will do Mafia Widow, because people always want to know what happened to me. And hopefully in Mafia Widow, we'll find Louis' body. And how it happened and what it happened, and you know, which is so interesting. It means that people really do care. You know, you could still be a criminal, and people still care. I know I do, okay? If somebody says to me that, oh, I was in prison, I would say, why? What happened? And usually a lot of it is mental illness, okay? Because I am bipolar, okay? And being bipolar doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person, okay? I take medication because I'm bipolar. The medication makes me a better person. But you see, unfortunately, most people don't realize that. Most people don't realize what it is to have mental illness. And I would say 3/4, okay, of the prisoners, okay, in prison have mental illness. Why? They just didn't know how to fix it, you know. But if you can't admit it, you can't fix it, okay. And I just say to people, there's nothing wrong with taking proper medication. I'm on lithium, okay, 900 milligrams. Sometimes I take 600 because it makes you tired. So there's nothing wrong with it. I see people that talk stupid and they act silly and there's something wrong with them. they're bipolar, and they're not admitting it. And the disease is certainly inherited, okay? You might be fine with it, but it probably comes from your mother, your father, somebody, okay? In my particular case, it was my mother. I mean, it's a disease of depression. It's a disease of self-destruction, okay? But if you know about it,
We got a guest on. We're going to bring the guests on, and they might want to ask you a question, so hold tight.
Sure.
Caller, last four digits, 7753, you're on the air.
Hi there. It's Roberta, Linda Melito's assistant.
Oh, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. Hi.
All right, we got Ms. Linda on there. Would you like to say something while you're on there?
I would like to say something to her, yes.
Go ahead, I'm listening, Roberta.
Hi.
How you doing?
I've been listening. You sound great. You're telling
me. Yeah, well, that's what it is. You just try to teach people to do the right thing, you know?
Right. Well, I was going to say on her behalf, you know, we've been working really hard on this book day and night for the last, I don't know how long, and it's going to be good. So please, you know, the phone lines are open. Please call and order the book. There's going to be a lot of information in this book, a lot of pictures. Linda really does open herself up in this book, and she shares a lot of family pictures she didn't in the first book. So it's going to be good.
Sounds good. So do you got a website you can give out to the viewers?
I do. It's about Mafia Wife. Live.com.
And give the phone numbers for the books.
Right. We have a phone number that's dedicated to the book. It's 530-320-7753. And, you know, if you have to call, you have a special request. Yeah, the paperback is starting at $14.95, and the hard covers are $29.95. Autographs are a little extra, but if someone calls in tonight and mentions your radio show, I'm sure Linda wouldn't mind bringing that in for free. You definitely
right.
have a good read, and I think Linda tells a good story. She's definitely a motivational speaker, you know, and that's
without
really something to say about her, about, you know, the life she's lived and how hard it's been. She's rised above it. Definitely a motivation
amen.
For women and others. Yes, amen.
Well, so. We definitely, you know, was out here to help promote Ms. Linda's book and what she's doing. And we just thank God that we have people like her around to testimony and tell these youngsters about their life. You know what I mean? It's a dead end. There's no good ending to that. You know, it's death for the prison system. So we appreciate Ms. Linda taking time out to spread her message.
Definitely. Thank you.
Oh, without a doubt. So we appreciate you calling in, Ms. Roberta. You can hold on the line and keep listening in. You know, we appreciate
you. I will. I'll keep listening. Hi, Linda. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Now,
okay, I'm here.
Yeah. I just want to ask you too. When you was in that life with Louis, you know what I mean? Because, you know, even when you're married to a guy and he's in the mafia, you might as well say you're in the life as well, because if you're there and something happened, they're going to get you, two of you right there at the same time, you know?
Wait, Rob, you know what? You know what they'll do? And it's the feds that'll do it or the cops that'll do it. They'll turn around and they'll say, well, if you talk, then we'll let your wife go. You understand? They make a deal with the guy that's involved, okay? Now, obviously, that did happen with me, okay? It did. When we were in the car business and Louis used to kick the clocks, okay? The feds came on the feds were at the auction, and they grabbed him, and they locked him up, but they said, if you talk and tell us what you're doing, we're going to let your wife go. And that's exactly what happened. But I was right there.
Yeah. So tell people how do that make a woman feel that's even around that type of lifestyle, you know what I mean?
Are you kidding, Rob? It makes you feel awful, okay? It makes you feel like, why am I here? What am I doing? Okay, you know, it's all negativity. why would you want yourself, or let's just say your daughter, into a negativity situation? What would they? I mean, the best way I could explain it is forget about you. Make believe you're your daughter. Would you want that for her? So if you don't want it for her, why would you want it for yourself? So I would kind of think that you would say to yourself, well, I don't want it. And whoever is mixed up in it now, they better run. I mean, there is no way. It's just as bad as the guy that's doing it. You're just as bad. Okay? Because now you're raising children, if you have kids, okay? Now you're raising children, okay, that is going to do exactly what you're doing. It's called enabling. It's called enabling.
Yes. And how are your kids doing to this day?
Well, I really don't talk to my daughter, okay, because we go separate ways. I mean, she doesn't tell her children what her father was, okay? And I, on the other hand, tell everybody, you know, because I'm not ashamed. So I kind of think one day, and I don't know when it's ever going to be. It might not ever be, okay? One day, she might turn around and hopefully join my crusade. But I don't know. I just can't change the fact that I have to tell the truth. I mean, I just can't. When she used to come here with my grandchildren, I used to have to put away all my books. And then when my granddaughter said to me, they called me Mima, Mima, do you write books? I had to tell her. She wanted me to tell her no. Now, I can't do that. Whereas my son is the opposite. My son is very proud of what I'm doing. I mean, what I'm doing is that stupid program, Mob Wives, is on television that nobody should watch it because, number one, it's scripted. It's all lies. Why would you want your children to see that? Why would you? I don't know why. You want to see my documentary about the truth? Okay? Then that's good. Because I'm going to show that's the wrong road to take. That it left a man without his children and his children without the father. Now, my daughter was 19 and my son was 15. So I was left with two teenagers, and my family did not help me one bit. As a matter of fact, they hurt me, because knowing that they don't help me, it hurts you. So it works in reverse, you see. So I can't explain it. I just feel that it's just a terrible, terrible thing to lie.
At that age, your children, did they know that your family was connected to the Gambino family?
Oh, sure they did.
That Sammy and John Gotti and all of them were at your house at different times, I believe you said.
Well, Lucinda, they didn't actually know, because back then there was no mafia. I mean, it came out in the 70s, okay? And
right.
It was just a way of life, okay? We were victims. Everybody was victims, even the men, okay? And it was just a way of life. So did anybody know? No. I mean, did anybody know what a gang was back then? Did anybody know that these people were going to wind up in prison? When my husband went to prison the first time, I didn't tell nobody. I stayed by myself for, it was 4 months. It was a six-month bit, but he got out in 4 months. But I was by myself. I was ashamed. I was ashamed. Now, today, when you go to prison, you're a big shot. You know? I mean, come on. Give me a break. You're not a big shot.
Right.
You understand? So there was a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference. And I can only say that, did my daughter know? Well, my daughter knew that if she did something wrong, her father was on the warpath. That's for sure. Okay, he was a pretty strict father when it came to the kids. Okay, so but was he a family man? Yeah, we went to the circus. We went to Yankee Stadium. My daughter was on baseball, basketball, all the sports. My son, soccer. Did he go to the games? Of course. So, you know, but there was another side. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like he was a gangster. I mean, he was not. When he walked into a room, people looked. Because he wasn't afraid of no one in that room. No one. So, you know, one day I remember calling him calling me from prison. And he says to me, Linda, listen, I'm not going to be able to talk to you for about 10 days. I'm saying to myself, what the hell is he talking about? Because he used to call at least two or three times a day. He says, don't worry about it. I have a project I have to do. Well, lo and behold, I did not know this, okay? They put him in the hole, you know, whatever the hell you call it, okay?
So
it happens. It happens. You know, it's called prison justice. I don't know what happened. I don't know, okay? But it's called prison justice, okay? When you're going into a prison, you have to be aware, okay, that this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, and it's not funny, but that's how they survive. You know? That's how they survive. I only wish one day that I would be able to go to all the prisons and tell them, please get out the books. They could become some professional in prison. All they got to do is go to the library. I mean, there's there people that will help them. So, you know, I can't be everywhere at once. My first objective in life is to find Louis' body, okay? To close that hole that they got in their hearts. And they do. They don't know where their dad is. You know? You know, even if you had a little piece of the father, at least you know you're going to put him somewhere and you can always go there to him. What do? You put him in the air? I mean, come on. I mean, if you're cremated, at least you got ashes, right? But we don't even have that. Okay? So I really do feel that I have to be around to end this and find Louis' body. I will even go into the prison.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about what happened back then that makes you believe that Sammy Gravano killed Louis or did away with Louis or had him murdered?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. And I'll tell you how things happened. Louis was a very well-respected man. They had beefs, you know, like almost like a rabbi, okay? Louis was a rabbi, okay? And they had to go to Louis in order to straighten out a beef. Many times I would see Louis in the mirrors rehearsing. What are you doing, okay? Don't worry about it, he would say, but I used to hear him talking to the mirror. Okay, so then he turned around and he said to me, well, I'm going to meet Sammy. I says, how come? He said, well, there's a beef going on and they don't want Sammy to referee. Now, Sammy used to get very jealous of Louis. Louis was way ahead of Sammy, okay? Nobody liked Sammy. Nobody. So what happened was, jealousy set in. John Gotti was put in front of Sammy. Sammy, they claim underboss is bullshit, okay? John Gotti came and Sammy elected him, okay? Because Louis was in prison, so he put Sam Gotti in charge of, like, Louis' territory, okay? Now, But that was not, Louis did not allow it, because Louis used to have meetings up at the prison, even if it was against the prison rules. Okay, so now there's jealousy, okay? Sammy was very jealous of Louis. Now, at one point, when he did the Plaza Suite, the hit on that guy, Louis was supposed to get money for it. Instead, I had to send the kids to private school. He came home and said to me, come on, I just bought a horse farm. A horse farm? What the hell are you going to do with a horse farm? So we went to this horse farm, and Sammy stole it from somebody, from a contractor, okay, and he made him put it under his name, and then he gave Louie a piece of the horse farm for the hit on the Plaza Suite. Meanwhile, I had no money to send the kids to school. So I got mad at Louie for doing this. What do you need this broken down place for? Okay? Oh, it's going to make money. How is it going to make money? I don't need money then. I need money now. So he turned around and he said, called the meeting with Sammy. I know that for a fact. And he said to Sammy, listen, Linda's very upset. He says, we have to break our friendship. We have to break our partnership. Right after then, Sammy had me on his nose. Okay? Because I broke up the friendship. I broke up the partnership. Okay? But I didn't want a horse farm. I mean, I just didn't want any part of what Sammy was doing. Sammy was manipulating Louie. Okay? And I didn't want that. So what I did, maybe I was wrong because I was so much involved in the whole thing, okay? But I was trying to protect Louie too. So what happened was that was the breakup. And from then on, Sammy had it in for Louie. Now, do I think he killed him? Nobody else would have killed Louie. Nobody. Nobody in the whole world, okay? I once told Louie, You better stay away from Sammy. He said, why? I said, I just don't like the way he's talking. He used to talk like Marlon Brando, like he was on drugs, okay? He was on steroids, okay? And he used to talk like Marlon Brando. I said, there's something wrong with him, you know? So Louie said to me, I don't have to be afraid of Sammy. He's got to be afraid of me. Who's going to hurt me? So I'm telling you, it was Sammy. I mean, and then Sammy wrote in his book, which I'll have, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put it in my book, maybe the next book. Sammy wrote in his book that somebody else killed him, okay? And he was at this club, Tally's, and they framed him to go there. And what happened was he went there, and that's when he got a bullet in his head, two bullets in his head, and that's Sammy's M.O., somebody called me from Fort Lauderdale and said, Linda, we got to talk to you. And I said, what? And they told me, they said, Linda, Sammy did it. It's Sammy's M.O., okay? So, you know, what Sammy did was kill Louie in order to get people to respect him, to make I think it's not respect, it was to be frightened of him, because you're killing Louie Melito? I mean, that's like an unheard thing. Because Louie was extremely big. He was not small. As a matter of fact, he was very good friends with Nicky Barnes. They were in prison together. Louie used to go up to Harlem. Okay? I mean, Louie had absolutely no racial problems. Never did, never would. And he taught me to be the same way. You know, so, you know, he was up in Harlem with Nicky Barnes. I mean, right after he got out of prison. So I know, okay, that it was Sammy. Because nobody else would have done it. Sammy did it for greed and for power, okay? That's what he did it for. But I guess it kind of stuck him right in the back, you know? And 2 years after that, they got him in Arizona. So they gave him 19 years, you know, and I don't know what else they're going to do, but I have another mission, and the mission is to make sure that he stays. He's sick. He's a very sick man. He has Graves' disease. He takes all kinds of pills. And if he's smart, he stays in prison because that's the only way he's going to get all the attention that he gets. I mean, once you go out of prison, you don't even have health insurance. So that's what's going to happen. If he, right. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be. Okay, I live from month to month. That little girl that helps me, Roberta, she's a sweetheart, okay? She's a fan of mine. I never met her yet, okay? She's in California, but I never met her. She's just a real, real good person, okay? And she knows the story. It's just like when you know the story after, you want to just try to help and find Louis, you know? I mean, that, will that be the end? No. The end will be a documentary and the movie. And we're in the middle of doing the script from a guy in California, and I want to get it to Paramount. Okay, I can't explain it. Paramount did Godfather. I want this to be an Oscar. Okay, who's going to play me? Who's going to play Louis? I don't know. It's too soon to tell. Okay, you always get people saying, well, this one, that one. But it's hard to tell. You know, you got to wait till the script is over, and then you really got to sit. And you know, but it'll be somebody very big for Linda and mediocre for Louis, because it's Mafia Wife. It's not Louis. Movie. It's still it's a movie of a very deprived woman, you know, deprived of a lot of things, of a mother, of love, of a family, of everything that she wanted she never got, you know. So
right, and you fell in love with Louis not knowing really what was going to happen in the future. I mean, so if you were to say, would I do this again? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you had a lot of good times and bad times.
Would I ever do it again? Probably. Because I loved him. I loved him as his hairdresser. Remember, he was a hairdresser.
Right.
Okay? We used to ride motorcycles together. I mean, you know, I just had so much fun. Yeah, we used to go to the Bear Mountains, up to the Catskill Mountains, you know. I just had so much fun with him. Sometimes he was the funniest guy in the world, you know. He just automatically was funny. He was so handsome. Oh, handsome than any actor you can see. He had the charisma. I mean, the women that used to have his hair done, they used to put his phone number on the tip, you know. He was just so handsome, just so handsome. Yeah, it's a true story. It's true. That's what they used to do. Yeah. You know, but, you know, you fall in love with someone and you say to yourself, could I ever replace Louis? Oh, I wish he didn't do that favor for his mother. I just wish he wanted to be a veterinarian. Maybe I would have convinced him to be a veterinarian. I'll never know, okay? But he did that favor for his mother. You know, and I said to him when he was listening to her, what are you doing? I said, my brother was in the Navy. My other brother was in the Army. Why can't your brother just be in the service? You know, and you know what he said? I have to do it for my mother.
Right.
So what are you going to do? For the love of his mother, he gave his life. And there was nothing. Louis was a perfectionist. Okay, Lucinda, he used to do hair. If there was one piece of hair out of the way, he would fix it. One piece. Okay? So you say to yourself, yeah, he was a perfectionist. Just a perfectionist. I mean, there was nothing he couldn't do. Nothing. So do you find someone to replace that? I mean... Nah, I remember I wanted the mosaic tile on the floor in my house in Arlene Street. He used to stay up nights after nights making sure that the mortar was going to dry right. This was going to dry right. Because he had a lot of love for me. You know, I mean, I remember he wanted to put the styrofoam beams up in the kitchen, okay? He had to make sure that everybody went to sleep, and he put a board up where the styrofoam beam was going to be. You know, I mean, just so many good memories. Good memory. One time, I used to smoke Cool's King, you know, the cigarette, and I told him, buy me a pack of cigarettes, you know? So he came home with a pack of cigarettes, but they weren't Cool's. They were Salem. I said, you know I can't smoke Salem. And he looked at me, and he says, okay, I'll be right back. And he went to the store on the corner, and he got me the Cool's King. So do you, I don't know, I'm sure there are men out there like that, okay? But they always have something missing. I don't know why, okay? Maybe I'm just too tough, you know? I could be. There are women that are just too tough. You know, but there are men that will want that. You know, so I don't know. But I just think that the right way to handle crime is no crime at all. No, listen, everybody does a little white collar. I mean, everybody, well, I like to say that I would want, if you found a $5 bill in a store, I would like to see you give it back. I would like to see that happen. Here's a lost and found. Somebody lost a $5 bill. I don't know if that could happen. I don't know. I never really tested it. Okay, but I kind of think that would be nice, though, don't you?
Right.
I think that it probably was done years ago, you know, in the 50s and 60s. I think that people used to do that. But time has changed. I don't know if it's the computer. I don't know if it's the, because we're looking for more money. I don't know because we have to make more. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I wish I didn't have to see it, okay? That's why I wish one day I could just stay so busy that I don't even have to see it. Just stay so busy making people happy, okay? And trying to make people understand right from wrong. You know, my son said to me the other day, you know what, Ma? I said, what? He says, I love talking to you. I mean, that made me feel good because he loves to hear me say right from wrong. You know,
right.
I just feel that, and sometimes when I say things, I don't really mean it, but I try real hard to put it in its right spot, okay, but sometimes I can't. So I just come out and say it the way it is.
Right.
And sometimes it comes out real funny. But I honestly, Roberta will tell you, I don't think things are funny. Okay? I don't think anything is funny. I mean, if somebody tells me a joke, I can't even laugh at the joke because I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I just can't laugh at a joke. And maybe that's my upbringing. I don't know. I don't think anything is funny. I think in life we have to be very serious. Okay? Because especially this life.
Yeah.
Especially this life. It's a rough life. It's a rough life. You know, but I just don't want to see crime. I just think that if we just stay away from it, you know? If we just try to do things legitimately, build up companies, start from scratch, do this, do that. You know, I have an idea for a company that would knock people's socks off, but I have tried so many times to do it, okay, and I'm just wasting my time. So I go back to Mafia Wife and do my thing, okay? But there are so many things that you can use your head with instead of your hands, you know? I used to tell Louie all the time, use your head and not your hands. You know,
right.
I guess that's my Jewish background coming up. I don't know, you know. I really feel that, I just feel that you got to use your, you know, if you don't use your brain, it starts to become stagnant, you know.
Well,
and that's where real mental illness comes in. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't know.
Linda, talk a little bit to the audience, to the youth, to adults, to anybody actually, but.
Wait, what'd you say?
Talk to the audience a little bit about making that one wrong decision and doing that favor and making the right choices.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret, okay? And, I got to be true, Lucinda. Okay, it's real hard to make the right choices, but if you start to make the wrong choice, you're going to know it. If for one second you say to yourself, is this right? You're going to know it, that it's wrong. So you're going to make the right choice if you just think a little bit. Okay, there's not, you can't make the wrong choice. You know why? Because you know you're doing it. So if you know you're doing it, why can't you fix it? I mean, many times I know I'm doing it. And I stop and I say, what am I, stupid? I'm not going to do it. And even though it's a shortcut and it's easier to do it, and you know that you're, it's like walking a tightrope. Why would you want to walk a tightrope? I don't know. I wouldn't. So if you stay on the right road, you don't have to cross over. And that's what I think is the most important thing to do, is to make the right decision. But I can tell you that if you're making a decision and you think it's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong. Because you got a brain, and that's what's going to tell you what to do. So I really think that it can, you can make the right decision. But once you start thinking, once that brain starts thinking, you're making the wrong decision. You have to think twice about it. It's something that you will stop and think. And as soon as that happens, you know it's wrong.
You already know.
That's
so
right.
What would we like for you to do, Ms. Linda, is get your website out one more time and give your last words out to the audience.
Okay.
And let them know where to get that great book at.
All right. It's www.mafiawife.com. That's my website, okay? And you can get my book at realmobwife@mail.com. Or the telephone for the book is, and please mention that the show, and we'll give you a discount, 1-530-320-7753. I can only tell you, and I'm going to be honest, my first book and my second book are together, and you'll enjoy it, okay? This is, I think, one of the best mafia books in the world, okay? And with my second book, it should definitely make a tremendous dent in hopefully right from wrong. I'm not writing the book to glorify mafia. No. I'm writing the book to tell the truth, because the truth will set me free. And I hope that people see it. It's a true story. It's something that has to be told, because I don't want any more lies about that particular era that I was in. Again, don't feel bad for me when you read the book. Just say to yourself, well, she did it. And that's what's important, okay, that I did it. I did one and two, and I'm going to go on to three. I'm going to go on to a biography. I'm going to find Louis. I'm going to do the film. And that's called positive thinking. If you have positive thinking, you won't go wrong.
Amen for that, you know. So what we would like to say is that we really, truly appreciate you coming on the show tonight, Ms. Lennon. It's an honor to always have you in the presence on the show and spreading your message to the youth and others. And we just want to say here to Streets and Love You Back Radio Show, make sure when you get off the line tonight that you call in, get that book, great book to read, a great book to learn from, true story. Ms. Linda done lived around that situation, and she's trying to detour other women, other young kids, other young men, not to even try that lifestyle. One favor, always have to get another favor done, and the favors will keep going, going, and going. You know, the favors will never stop.
Nope.
You know what I mean? So don't start favors, and then you won't have to worry about bringing them one to the table, you know?
Yeah.
So, without further ado, once again, we'd like to thank Ms. Roberta as well, Ms. Linda assistant, and please give her assistance a call for that book and mention Boyd and Lucinda and The Streets Don't Love You Back, where you heard it at, and they will take care of you. So without further ado, I'm pass the mic to the missus for the last announcements. And if you have not yet joined our website, log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyou.com.
And I just want to say something. You're doing a wonderful job. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep it up.
We appreciate that very much, Ms. Linda. You know, and we're going to keep supporting you as well and spreading that message out there.
Okay, thank you.
Without a doubt.
Okay, good night.
Good
night, Lucinda. What?
Good night. We'll put we'll have your information on our website. It's already on our website.
Thank you.
But we'll continue to put that information out there for you and continue networking.
I'm just looking for Louie. That's it.
Okay. Well, you got to find him then. That's for sure.
Yep, I'll find him. I'll find him.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your story with us once again, Linda. We always appreciate and have a good time listening to you and talking to you. And,
good. Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Lucinda.
We look forward to working with you in the future.
No problem. Anytime you need me, I'm around.
Okay. Thank
you,
Okay?
Anna. Keep up
thank
the good
you.
Work, Lucinda.
We will. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to go out tonight with the song by Kendall Day out of Detroit, Michigan, with Grand Slam Records, a record label out of Detroit, Michigan. His new single, All For You. And so once again, before we play that song, we just want to remind you that we're on every Wednesday night live, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. So please tune in every Wednesday night. We always have a new story, a real story, and we'd like to share with our audience. And do log on to our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.com or Google us, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We do have our clothing line. You can check out our store and, you know, order your stuff for the holidays. Grab your hoodie, your Scully, your thermal shirt, T-shirt, the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, the book, Never Hit a Woman, and just give somebody that gift for Christmas. So we look forward to continuing what we're doing with The Streets Don't Love You Back and educating the youth about the dangers of gangs, drugs, and violence. And we thank you all for your continued support. Now we're going to go out with All For You, Mr. Kendall Day. Good night.
Everything is all for you.
From your girl, you was hitting the club. So I'ma show some extra love. And I'ma get fresh as fuck for you tonight.
And I'ma make sure everything's brand new. Everything touching my body is brand new.
See the mirror, don't lie. Feeling like that guy tonight, so.
From the ballet, seven cinder bottles of Moscato and Rosé. All of it was okay, okay.
So baby, what you gonna do for me? Cause
everything is all for you. All for you.
All for you.
All for you.
All for you.
You. Everything I do when it's all tonight. Everything is all for you.
Yeah.
All for you.
All for you.
Everything I do when it's all tonight.
Baby, it's all
everything
for
you. Everything is all for you.
VIP never felt so lovely. Drinks never looked so bubbly. Don't you just love me? From the club to the telly, what's up? Private suite, can't nobody interrupt. Perfect night for the both of us. And this is how we started out. I'm loving everything you do for me. That's why
everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you. The cars, the clothes, the way that it goes.
all for you. You know that it's all for you, baby. Everything is all for you.
All for
you. The way that it goes.
All for you.
You know that it's all for you, baby. Everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you.